I'd like to speak to you about a remarkable man, Father Patrick Peyton.
Father Patrick Peyton.
Patrick Peyton.
Father Patrick Peyton.
Father Patrick Peyton.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
He was a remarkable man. He really was. You know, I just watched a movie last night. In fact, it's hitting theaters today, and I want to get you plugged into it. You know, today my show is, well, it always takes a different theme. You know, this, the beauty of this show is you never know what you're going to hear. Right? We could be talking politics. We could be talking finance. We could be talking, you know, matters of the church or even the faith. And you know, today really the message is one of hope, one of prayer, one of the power in particular of the rosary. I really believe our nation's bishops, when they led us in that rosary, I can't imagine how many people joined them in that prayer. It was broadcast over multiple outlets. Relevant Radio reaches a potential audience of 220 million households right now, maybe even more. There's many who listen to us online. I just can't imagine how many rosaries were offered today and what the effect of that's going to be. I mean, it's going to be profound. I really believe that. There's another man. His name is Father Patrick Peyton. He understood the power of that. And there's a new film out. I'm going to fill you in on it. It's in theaters. I would encourage you to go out and see it. One, because it'll inspire you, not only for love of the rosary, but you'll be inspired by the mission of this man. You'll be inspired. His story is one a man who came to discover the power of the rosary, and then ultimately submitted himself to whatever God wanted. He had a mission to introduce and to bring family prayer to the country, and God had him reach tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people through his mission. And God can use the most unlikely people. If God has a destiny or a mission for you in life, don't say, I can't do it. I can't afford to do it. I don't have the finances. I don't have the education. Drew, I don't have the connections. With God, those connections will be made. He'll provide the providence to get that project done. He will raise you up. I think of David, who was a shepherd, went into battle, slew a giant, right? Would become the king of Israel. You take a look at, you know, Father Peyton. He came from Ireland. No connections here at all, yet Hollywood would do his bidding. You know, he mastered television, radio, and film. It's an amazing story. It's all chronicled in this film called Pray, the story of Patrick Peyton. It's in theaters this weekend, and I often say on these opening days, it is so important to get out and to see this. I know you might be freaked out about COVID. You know, if that's the case, it'll be online on the first of, I think, the new year. You can probably see it. But I would recommend, if you can, there's social distancing, there's masks, there's sanitation in the theaters doing it. Go out and see. Go out and see this film. Support these types of films. And this is a great month, right? This is the month of the Holy Rosary. And, you know the history of it. Today, in particular, marks the victory Christian forces obtained over the Ottoman Turks back in 1575. A great naval battle at the time, known as the Battle of Lepanto. And the victory came after Christians were encouraged to pray the rosary. They had this tremendous rosary crusade that went underway. And the sailors who went in, these Christian forces, were outnumbered. They were outgunned. The sailors, the soldiers who were fighting the Turks, I mean, they should have been destroyed. And yet we saw the hand of providence. God intervened. They won that battle in a miraculous way. And today, another battle in our country. And after that, the Pope declared October 7th the Feast of the Holy Rosary. We've been celebrating it ever since today. And that's why our bishops, I think, chose today to pray that prayer. But today we battle another war, one that's waged on the family. And I really do believe this is where Satan, his crosshairs are focused. Sister Lucia de Santa said that's where the final confrontation will be over, right? It'll be over the family and marriage. And I think he wants to divide the family. You see how fractured it is today. Father Peyton knew this. He knew that there was a power in that family, in the domestic church, and he knew that if a family would pray together, it would stay together, and he knew that the demonic forces that tried to attack it would be met with spiritual forces. The families would be implacable. And this battle, look, it's been going on for a long time. Here in the U.S., I think we need family prayer more than ever. And I've been saying today, do not get caught in despair, but have hope and pray. If you have trouble in your family, pick up the rosary and pray. Pray it as a husband and a wife. Pray it with the entire children. If nobody wants to pray it, then pray it yourself. And you will see the fruit of this prayer. Father Peyton had this very famous saying that said, a family that prays together stays together. And I just think that there is so much truth in that. Again, the film, Pray, the story of Patrick Peyton, it opens in theaters this weekend, okay? Opens in theaters this weekend. Make plans to go and see it and help support it. Bring your family. You'll be inspired after seeing this, I think, to pray as a family. So if your family's like, oh, I'm not into prayer, ask them at least to go see the movie with you, okay? I'm joined right now by Father David Guffey. He's actually featured in the film. He's a wonderful Holy Cross priest. He's the National Director of Family Theater Productions and the executive producer of this film. He was with me a couple months ago. I talked to him a little bit about the film. I had watched it months ago when it was first finished being produced, and I rewatched it last night. I said, Father, you got to come back. Let's talk about this film and why everyone should be seeing it. And he joins me today. Father, always a delight to have you. Thank you for your time.
Drew, thank you so much for having me back, and happy feast day.
Yeah, happy feast day to you today, too. It's one of my favorites. I love the rosary. The rosary, I'll give you a personal testimony, Father. My father and I often shared on air, he battled addiction for a long time. My mother, for decades, you know, for years, would pray the rosary for his liberation and his conversion. And I credit the rosary for that complete freedom. He you know, 15 years of his life, he was miraculously healed. In the end, I was with him at a site where the Virgin Mary was appearing. And I credit the rosary for his liberation. And there's been testimonies of conversion, of freedom from addictions, miraculous healings, military forces leaving locations due to the prayer of the rosary. Let's talk a little bit about that, because this was a love that Father Peyton had. What is it about the rosary that Father Peyton fell so in love with, and how did that happen? And ultimately, your perspective on why God has so anointed this great prayer.
Well, the rosary is the way to Jesus Christ through the eyes and heart of Mary, who loved him most. Father Peyton had an incredible love and devotion to the Blessed Mother. And she, just for her purity, for her love, for her devotion, for her complete commitment to the Lord, she's the most threatening thing in the world to the forces of evil. She brings all of what her son represents, hope and grace and peace and healing. And that comes to us in the praying of the rosary.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people who don't know Father Peyton or his story. I mean, they might have heard of the rosary priest, but that might be all they know. Might be something beyond, you know, it might have been something that was part of their parents' life or beyond. Explain a little bit who he was, what he accomplished. Maybe share the story of Father Peyton and the great mission that God charged him with.
Sure. Father Peyton was born in Ireland. He was the sixth of nine children. Really very limited opportunity for education, very limited jobs in Ireland. So he and his older brother, Tom, migrated to the United States in the 1920s, thinking they were going to become millionaires. Well, they had a hard time finding work. They ended up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Tom got a job in a coal mine. Pat got a job as a janitor in St. Joseph's Cathedral in Scranton. But it's there that they met Holy Cross priests who came through doing parish missions. And, you know, Pat was able to talk about his desire to be a priest, and Tom also went. So the two of them went to Notre Dame. They finished high school. They finished college. They begin theology. And towards the very end of Father Peyton's studies, he's stricken with severe tuberculosis. That was the great pandemic of the age. There really was not a cure for it. There were treatments, but it could kill a person. It could debilitate them for life. Father Peyton, he had a bad case. They told him to make his peace with God. They called in his family. And he was really on his deathbed when a Holy Cross priest who had taught philosophy at Notre Dame came in and visited Pat and said, look, you have a relationship with the Blessed Mother. She'll be as good to you as you believe she'll be. So if you're 50%er, she'll be 50%er, 80%er, 80%er, 100%er, 100%er. And Father Peyton knew he was right. He loved the Blessed Mother. He loved the Lord. And he prayed like he'd never prayed before. And he experienced immediate healing that night. It took a while to convince the doctors, but when they did a chest x-ray a few weeks later, the tuberculosis was completely gone and there was no medical explanation for it. So he feels that he was healed through the intercession of the Blessed Mother by praying the rosary and being so devoted to her. And he wants to give his life to her, not just a life of devotion, but his whole ministerial life. And he looks around, by this time it's 1941, and he looks around to see what the world needs and how he can repay and bring her the message of the Blessed Mother to the world. And he believed that the family was the core for everything. It was the core to his life, to who he was as a man, to his values, to his faith, to everything that was meaningful in life. And his family was shaped around family prayer. They prayed the rosary together every single night. And so this newly ordained priest starts a national family rosary crusade. And it's going strong, and he's getting the message out. He's doing a lot of talks, but he wants to go bigger. And he realized that the way to go bigger was with mass media, which at the time was radio. And so he starts to do local radio, and then he gets a chance to do one radio show in New York to try to convince them that he can do it. And they tell him that he has to have a big star. And he says, who's the biggest star? And they say, Bing Crosby. So somehow, Father Peyton gets Bing Crosby's home phone number in Beverly Hills and calls him on Good Friday in 1945 and asks him to be on this radio show. And Bing Crosby says yes. So on May 13th, which is, of course, the anniversary of the appearance at Fatima, he has this show, and it's a wild success. That turns into a national show with holiday stars. He had a national show on a national radio network from 1947 to 1968. And each show had a story, had a little narrative, and then a message about family prayer. Well, that led to rosary rallies. He did in-person appearances. And Father Peyton in his life appeared to over 28 million people in person on every continent. I don't think he was in Antarctica, but he was everywhere else in the world. So he had this huge impact. And the rallying points were the family that prays together stays together, and a world at prayer is a world at peace, because he really believed that true peace came by connection with the Lord, and that would come through the intercession of the Blessed Mother.
Wow, and we saw the fruit of how God has used him. I always love the stories of not knowing the biggest celebrities of the day, like Bing Crosby and so many others, Frank Sinatra, and yet he cold called these people, and God opened the door. And when some said, "Hey, you know nothing about radio or television or film," he'd get on his knees and he'd just start praying. Right? He'd just start praying.
Yeah.
Those are great stories. He had a way, but you know the thing I take away from the movie, Father, the thing that really has struck me. Is that God gives us all a mission in life. And this was the mission of Father Peyton. He wanted to reach, I think, 10 million souls, which is a huge number in his day. And he far exceeded that. And if God has a mission for you, he's going to give you the connections. We clearly saw that in his case. He's going to give you the finances. He's going to give you the opportunities. He's going to give you the words. I know that when he would preach, the words that seemed to come from him would hold people spellbound and captive. And we saw that even in his latter years. I know there was a time when the country was much more devout, much more religious and open to it. And then in the 60s, when the sexual revolution and 70s began and the Second Vatican Council unfolded, people began to fall away from the roteness of these types of prayers. And I know it was a challenging time for him, but maybe you can share a little bit about what happened when he went to the Philippines. I know he was frail on his bed. Nobody thought he should go. And yet the record turnout and the power of his words, people to this day still remember that.
It was 1987. He was sick. He had heart trouble. He was diabetic. But he had been invited to a big rosary rally in Manila. The organization he founded, Family Rosary, had a huge presence in the Philippines. We still do to this day, by the way. So they invite him to the rosary rally, and he really wants to go. He goes, and it turns out that 2 million people show up in Manila, in the Philippines. Now, this is at a time where Manila is really in upheaval. They've got a divisive election that's taking place between the dictator Ferdinand Marcos and Corazon Aquino. About 3 weeks, 3 weeks to a month after that rosary rally, they had the election. And Corazon Aquino won the vote and should have been able to take office, but Marcos held power. And in fact, he was holding power by threat of violence. The people came out massively, but they were prayerful, peaceful rallies. People went out with rosaries and took to the streets. Marcos sent the army. They sent people with guns, but not a shot was fired because the soldiers really responded to the prayers and really responded to the people. And later, Cardinal Jaime Sin and Cardinal Tagle, who's in the film, said that they believed that the power of that rosary rally that took place prepared the people for peaceful protest, and the power of the prayer of that rosary rally changed the course of the Philippines for the better and brought democracy back to that country.
I just love that story. It shows you the power of the rosary. It shows you the power of God using people at all stages of their life. Father, I have to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. If you want to join us, too, I have Father for a few moments. You can get in. Our number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I'm speaking with one of the executive producers of a brand-new film on the life of Father Patrick Peyton, the Rosary Priest. And I would encourage you to see it. I mean, it's an inspiring film, and I think it'll give you the desire not just to pray the rosary, but to pray it as a family, and you'll come to witness, to see for yourself the transformative power of this heavenly prayer. My guest, Father David Guffey, and I will be right. Guffey and I will be right back right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show. Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and at relevantradio.com.
The family that prays together stays together.
Father Patrick Peyton went home to God on June 3rd, 1992. And while his life on this earth may have ended, the legacy and mission of this holy candidate for sainthood are still very much alive today.
Keeping it relevant, it's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, there's a great new film out called Pray, the Story of Patrick Peyton. Details are on Twitter. If you go to @DrewMarianiShow, you'll find it there. It'll bring you over to the website, and you can get all the info on how you can learn more about it. It's produced by Family Theater Productions, and I am joined by the executive producer, Father David Guffey. He's a Holy Cross priest. And I love that saying, Father. I want to grab a couple calls here for you. But a family that prays together stays together. You know, Sister Lucio de Santos of Fatima, she said there's not a problem, either material or moral, national or international, that can't be effectively resolved or solved by the rosary and by our sacrifices. And all the great popes said the same thing. I mean, Pius IX famously said that if you want peace in your homes and in your country, assemble every night and recite the rosary. This was a big part of his message, the family rosary. He saw the family as the domestic church, and he understood that Satan had a special enmity for that particular family. Before I grab your calls, I just want your thoughts on that. What did he say about that? Because in his day and age, the family was still pretty much in place. We didn't have no-fault divorce. We didn't have half the problems we have today. Today, you take a look at the divorce rate and the just the chaos and division that surrounds families. We live in a very different time than when he started his mission. But your thoughts?
We live in a different time, but he anticipated them. He saw the roots. He saw the roots of the problems that we have today, even as early as 1941. And like you said, he truly believed that that prayer would keep a family united together and united to God, and that was the way for peace in the family. And if there was peace in the family, the church would be strong and society would be strong. He believed that so strongly, and that he loved the phrase the domestic church. By the way, he advocated for it. He flew to Rome during Vatican II and advocated for the inclusion of the phrase the domestic church in the documents of Vatican II. And it's in the Constitution for the Church. Where the documents themselves name the household, the family, mother, father, children, as this important and substantial part of the life of the church. That's where we learn to love. It's where we learn to trust. It's where we learn to hope and forgive and grow. It's where the most important healing comes about, the most important growth. So when you bring daily prayer and connection to the Lord into that, everything goes better.
Let's grab a call or two for you right now. Michael's been waiting for a while to join the conversation. He's listening in Palatine, Illinois. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for this subject. I have an idea, and I'd like to share it with you because I've been praying this for a while now. There were three strong Irishmen in my life, Father McGivney, Bishop Sheen, and Father Peyton.
I love it.
And I'd like to know if you can compose an invocation for the three of them to come to the aid of the United States of America right now, with the position that they're in with this election, to go with the candidates that are pro-life. I am now a Knight of Columbus, so that's why I'm.
That's great.
I know about Father McGivney, but is not Father Payton? Has he been beatified yet?
No, great question.
He has not. He's venerable, and so they've looked at everything he said and wrote publicly, and it's been approved. And so now they're at the stage where they wait for a posthumous miracle. We get emails and calls every day of people that have felt comfort or healing through the intercession of Father Payton. But the church is pretty strict about the criteria that they would use to judge whether or not something is an official miracle. Well, there are two situations that have been evaluated on a diocesan level from different parts of the world, by the way. And those two cases right now are at the Congregation for Saints. So we are hoping that the church will affirm what we believe, that Father Payton is a saintly and holy man and important presence in our church.
Hey, can you tell me about one or two of those cases? I love the way the saints often intercede, you know, after they've crossed to the other side for us. What miracles are now being evaluated?
Because I have a connection with the cause through our organization, I'm really not allowed to talk about it. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be evasive. But
no, it's fine.
Once they're in Rome, we have to be really careful. Oh. During his life, he had healing. There's a healing described in the movie where there was a man who had fallen from a 6-story building in January onto concrete, and they brought him to the hospital, but really thought he'd die on the spot. They called on Father Payton. Father Payton prayed with the family, and then he prayed with the man alone for hours and hours and hours. And the man not only lived, but had four more children and went on to live a full life.
Yeah, I'm going to have one of those four children on the air with me on Friday. I will plug that for a little bit later. He'll be joining me. We'll share the story of that incredible miracle. Really, it was pretty wild. Let's go grab another call or two, Father. Time will go pretty quickly here. Jake, who's up next? Palm Desert, California. Maureen, good afternoon.
Hello, Father. I was just wanting to remark about how when I was a teenager, probably, I guess, we went to Mary's Hour in the Coliseum in Los Angeles. I'll never forget it to be able to do that, because it was just such a miracle to see the whole Coliseum full of people praying to the Rosary, to our Blessed Mother. And I've never forgotten that. And I do want to go see the movie. I haven't yet, but I will go see it.
That sounds great.
So that was just my comment.
Well, thanks, Maureen. It's beautiful. I mean, it must have been a powerful thing. I watched the video last night, and Father, you can pick up on what Maureen said. But I was thinking, a stadium full of people praying the rosary. Wow, that's powerful. That shot in Manila where there's 2 million people that came out and they didn't expect anybody. I mean, that was powerful. And, of course, today in our own country, we prayed the rosary with our nation's bishops. I really believe that effect, change, comes from this type of prayer. What are your thoughts when we have that many people praying together in unison, petitioning the Mother of God to go before her Son? What do you think happens?
I think the power of that is so strong. Jesus wanted us to pray together. He encouraged us to pray together. And this prayer that we pray together unites us with one another, and it creates a bond of community and fellowship and a sense of being church together, but only because it connects us to God more completely and fully.
Gotcha. Gene is listening in Illinois. Gene, thanks for dialing in. You're on the air.
Well, I tell you, Drew, thanks for taking my call. I was just saying that I'm 90 years old now, but when I lived in Ohio as a young woman, still at home with my mom and dad, we went around having block rosaries because of the effects of Father Payton's desire for us to pray the rosary. And so each week we would go to a different house in the neighborhood, and they weren't all Catholic, but they were praying the rosary with us. So it was very inspiring.
That was part of
Father Payton's rosary rally plan. When Father Payton did a rosary rally in the city, it wasn't just a one-time event. About 6 to 9 months in advance, they would start sending materials, and they'd ask each parish to pray for the success of the rosary. They'd ask shut-ins and people in jail to pray for the rally. But then afterwards, they set up these block rosary structures so that people would gather with other people in their neighborhood to continue it. So I'm so happy to hear of your experience with that. And it's a nice reminder of of the impact that a Rosary rally would have on a community.
Yeah, Gene, thank you for calling and sharing that. It was great to hear from you. Let me sneak Geraldine in. She, I think, used to have dances for Father Peyton. Now I got to hear this call. Geraldine in Illinois, good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, God bless you. I knew Father Peyton.
Wow.
He came from about 35 or 40 miles from where I was born.
Wow, how beautiful.
And
in County Mayo?
Yes, in County Mayo, yeah. We're from County Sligo, but he's from County Mayo. But he came to my boarding school when I was in high school, and then he came, when I came to Chicago, we used to have big dinner dances for him at the Glendora House at 103rd and Harlem Avenue, and we'd give him a big purse of money, and we'd send him off to the next place. And he gave me a beautiful book. His beautiful book is A Man of Faith, and he autographed it for me September the 23rd, 1983.
Hey, Geraldine, let me ask you a question. How humble was he? Was he a humble man with all this celebrity?
He was really lovely, and I had a picture when I was in boarding school, and I showed it to him. I said, Father Patrick, I said, this is me, and that's you. And he said, I remember that.
I love it.
1954.
God bless you, Geraldine.
The Marian year.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
He remembered it.
Yeah. What kind of man was he? I mean, Geraldine, all these people, they loved him. They had these experiences. When you're around celebrity, when you have fame, because that comes with television and radio and film of the day, people knew him. There were only a few television channels on, you know, the moving pictures, the movies were a big deal at the time, let alone radio. He remained, I think, incredibly humble. There was something in the film that struck me. He says, you know, he didn't change being around celebrity. Celebrities changed being around him. And that really speaks to holiness, doesn't it, Father?
It does. And I think that's the presence of the man. I met him when I was in the late 1980s, just a short while before he died. And my impression of him, I got the same sense of when I first saw Pope John Paul II walk into a room when I saw him in Phoenix, Arizona in 1987, I was in the presence of holiness.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's what I felt with Father Peyton.
I agree. Carla's listening in Philadelphia. Carla, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My mother is a huge Father Peyton fan, and she is suffering with her end stages of ALS and had a stroke about a year ago. And every night, he watches the YouTube videos of Father Peyton's rosary, and we pray the rosary together. And I'm praying for Father Peyton, to Father Peyton for a miracle for her healing, because I would love for, you know, his sainthood cause to be advanced through through a healing of her. Is there a certain prayer? I wanted to ask Father, is there a certain prayer that's already formulated that would be, you know, effective, or is it just better just to pray from your own heart with your own words?
Well, it's always good to pray from your own heart, but there is a prayer for intercessions that's on the website, praythefilm.com. Go to prayer resources, and you'll find that prayer there. What's your mother's first name? May I join you in that prayer?
Her name is Lois.
Right. Okay, I'm Father, going to pray for that too.
Well, Father, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Carla, hang in there. I'll tell you what, if you are listening, the website is praythefilm.com. You can learn more about the movie Pray, the story of Patrick Peyton. We also have a link for it to Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show. You can go there and follow it. Please follow me at Drew Mariani as well. But praythefilm.com. You'll learn more about the film. You'll learn about these beautiful prayers and about Father Patrick Peyton. Father Guffey, thank you for your time. Congratulations on the movie. I wish you the best success.
Thank you very much. God bless your ministry, Drew.
May God bless you. Father David Guffey, executive producer, Pray, the story of Patrick Peyton.